Welcome everyone to At the Table with Gail.
Hello everybody. I spent a lot of time down the beach over the weekend.
Did you?
Nice. Yes, I did.
Did you catch any fish?
Yes. Yes, 5 kahuai.
Okay. Yeah,
off the shore.
Right.
The two lines that went out via the kayak got nothing, but you could, you know, cast your net from the shore and catch fish. So there you are. That's the difference. So I'm just thinking, Catherine, that I wish that I had this spicy fish recipe.
Ah, that's what we're starting off with, peeps.
Yes, we
are. Some spice.
Because the fish was beautiful and fresh. I did cook it, skinned, boned, into the pan. Beautiful, absolutely. But if I'd seen this recipe, I would have made it.
Okay,
so
tell us.
Right, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 onion chopped, 2 garlic cloves crushed, 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of ground coriander, 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric, 1/2 teaspoon of finely grated lemon rind. Now, 1 packet of Maggi Spicy Italian Sauce Mix, 3/4 of a cup of water, 1/2 cup of dry white wine, 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, and 500 grams of fish fillets. Now, there's no particular fish. We're not talking about any particular fish, white fish. Okay, just cut it into pieces, freshly ground black pepper, and 2 tablespoons of chopped parsley. Now, we're heating the olive oil in a frying pan. Add the onion and garlic and cook for 2 to 3 minutes. Add the cumin, coriander, turmeric, and lemon rind and cook for a further 1 minute. Combine the sauce mix with the water and the wine. Oh, water and wine. Gee, that reminds me of something. And add to the pan with the tomato paste and bring to the boil, stirring, and then add the fish. Cover the pan and simmer for 4 to 5 minutes or until that fish is cooked. Stir occasionally, season with black pepper, and sprinkle with the parsley. Serve immediately. And that's what I would have done if I'd had this recipe. Absolutely lovely.
I have to take your word for it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm showing it, but she's not interested in fish.
No.
But I am, and especially off the beach. Very nice. Yeah, there was a lot
Which
of
fish. I'm sure a lot of people do in this region.
Fish.
Yeah, they fish and get fresh fish.
You should have seen the people fishing.
Oh, yeah?
You wouldn't believe it.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Is it because the weather's starting to get a bit warmer?
It is, yeah. It's like Camp City down there.
Camp City.
Yeah, it really was. But
what suburb are you talking about?
I'm talking about Ōtaki Beach.
Oh, Ōtaki Beach.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody there in Ōtaki who's fishing.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you could follow this recipe. So there you are, that spicy fish. Now, I've also found this recipe, Catherine, potato and spinach quiche.
Mm.
Nice and easy. And, I mean, the fish one was really easy too as well. But this one is just lining a deepish pie plate or a pizza dish with a nice cheese scone mixture. Okay, so everybody's got their own little cheese scone recipe. And bake blind. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know what that means sort of baking it. You're putting it in a dish. You can either roll it or you can press it on a pizza plate or in a pan dish. So basically, really, that's what you're doing there. And baking it blind, which just means either putting weights on it so that it doesn't sort of rise, and just make sure that you bake it for about maybe 10 minutes at 180 or something like that. Just watch it because it's actually cooked, because the filling that's going in it will be cooked. But you'll be able to just heat it up, okay? So what we're going to do is when that's cooking, you're going to cook 2 medium peeled potatoes in the usual way. Mash well with 1 teaspoon of butter and 1 tablespoon of milk or cream, and slightly sour it with a little bit of lemon juice just to give it that sort of bit of a tang, and leave to cold. Now, this could be made if you've had a whole lot of mashed potatoes the night before. Just keep a few back so you can make this dish, because it's a good luncheon dish. When cold, when that potato's cold, spread it over the scone mix that you've actually just baked blind in the oven at about 180, and make sure that it's pretty well cooked, because, well, maybe you might need to go up a temperature, 200. But anyway, just keep an eye on it, and it doesn't have to be a 4-cup flour scone recipe, because that'll make a huge base. So, you know, maybe a couple of cups of flour for the scone recipe with the cheese in it. Now, the spinach filling is 5 stalks of spinach or young silver beet, and we're only going to use the green part of that. Okay, so take off your white stalks, 1 tablespoon of butter, 1 tablespoon of flour, 1/2 cup of milk, salt and pepper, 1 egg. So what we're doing now is washing and cooking the spinach quickly in salted water. And quickly is like 1 or 2 minutes exactly. And drain and chop. Melt butter in a pan, take off the heat, add the flour and beat until smooth. Now I would do this with a whisk, Catherine. I would do it with a whisk or a fork because a spoon won't do it.
No.
You've got to whisk it. Add the milk, mix well and return to the heat and stir until the mixture boils and is thick. Simmer for maybe 1 or 2 minutes at the most. Beat egg and add the salt and pepper, well-chopped spinach and add to the flour mixture and pour over the potato filling. Cover with grated cheese, lovely. Throw a bit of parmesan if you want to for that extra tang. And heat in the oven. That's why the base has got to be cooked. Heat in the oven until that cheese is melted. And this is a lovely lunch.
Sounds like a really good lunch.
Nice and quick.
Nice and quick. Yeah. And have with a salad or something.
Yes. And, you know, having it with the that spinach in there, good for you.
Mm.
Fresh from the garden too, Catherine.
Yeah, I haven't got any growing. Have you?
Yes, I do. Yes, that's what made me think, oh, I just might make that because I have actually got some silver beet at the moment and I think, yes, I've got all those ingredients, which I have, and yes, I can make that. Oh, I'm allowed to mention that I did make that rice.
Oh, yes.
The fruity brown rice.
I haven't made it yet, so do tell.
Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah?
Everybody loved it. And
okay.
And it actually makes a reasonable bowl full and I did it to the letter. You know,
okay.
I just because it had rum in it, didn't mean to say that I threw in an extra teaspoon because I thought, you know, it's very important to actually follow it, you know, by the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely chilled it, brought it out, and everybody loved it. So that is a winner as far as I'm concerned. It was great.
Okay, so we will post that one on the website with a photograph.
I did.
Because you sent me a photo yesterday.
A nice close-up.
Yeah.
So you could actually see, you
all
know.
The ingredients,
and
in it.
Cutting up the raisins. Yeah, definitely.
Cutting up the raisins.
Oh, don't throw them in whole.
Okay.
No, definitely cut the raisins.
Okay.
Yeah, chopped raisins because it was just that those little bits that were floating through it. Otherwise, you know, big raisins sort of, you know, make it look ugly. But this with the cut up raisins, absolutely fabulous.
Oh, yum. So that one you'll make that again?
So go for it, listeners. I'm going to definitely make that one again.
Okay, lovely. All right. Well, we better give you a break.
Yes.
We'll pop a song on.
Okay.
See how you go with this one, Gail.
Okay.
Spice up your life a little bit.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, well, I've had Gail dancing and singing in the studio, and singing in my ears, by the way, because we've got headphones on, and she's been singing into the microphone as well. So thanks for that.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. You'll know what my voice is like.
It's certainly energised you, and I hope everyone else is energised too after hearing that.
I think so, yes.
I'm exhausted.
Yes. Okay, well.
What have we got?
We've got this beautiful dessert, and when I mentioned it to Catherine, her eyes just went, you know, glazed. And because it's a chocolate chip pea torte with fresh berries. So it's just absolutely fabulous. And now this is a nice, easy one. We seem to have a lot of chickpea recipes, but I'll tell you what, it's surprising what you can do with these chickpeas. Absolutely amazing. Oh, that's another thing, Catherine.
Yeah.
I actually did a chickpea, lentil, bean, soybean dish too over the weekend.
Yum.
And put it into, I must admit, it was a coconut commercial sauce. And
You did like a mild curry.
Absolutely fabulous.
Oh, yum.
Another winner. Mm. But I tell you what, all I had to really do was open two cans and take off the lid of this commercial sauce. And I tell you what, it was absolutely beautiful.
Wow, that's a good
tip. It was like a bean stew, but not really a stew. It was just a nice little dish. And that went down a treat too. So look, honestly, you can do so much. And I just thought of that.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, I've got these people here that, you know, that eat that sort of stuff. And I thought, what can I do? Aha. And I got this beautiful coconut sort of curry sauce. Beautiful.
What did you have it with, the rice salad?
I had lots of food, actually.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, lots of food. We won't go into it.
Okay.
You know, it was quite a bit. But I had to sort of make sure that I catered for, you know, lots of people.
Okay.
Yeah, all different tastes.
Yeah.
But anyway, this one here is 2 cups of cooked chickpeas, 1/3 cup of orange juice, 1 tablespoon of egg substitute, or use 4 egg whites if preferred. Now, I've never used egg substitute, to be quite honest. Have you ever used it, Catherine?
I've used chickpea water.
Oh,
yeah,
as a substitute for egg white.
Yeah. Yeah, I use it in like, I have never made a pavlova, but I've used it in, what have I used it in?
So you could
in a tiramisu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it sort of whips up. It's yum.
Yes.
Especially with the sugar in it, which is a bit naughty. But
Oh, well, there you are.
I don't particularly like the. I've used once, I must say, if you are the egg white substitute maker, I'm sorry, but I have used them once before. It was awful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've never tried it.
But if you're good at it, fine, carry
that's
on.
Right. Yeah, well, that's the way I see it too, Catherine. We're just giving out the ideas.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've never used it because I've always, you know, use egg whites or eggs anyway.
Yeah.
But all 4 egg whites, as we said, 120 mils of water, 3/4 cup of soft brown sugar, 1/4 cup of cocoa powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/4 cup of desiccated coconut, 1 tablespoon of icing sugar, 1 tablespoon of cocoa powder extra, and 200 grams of fresh blueberries and 200 grams of fresh raspberries. Now, this is what caught my eye too, Catherine, because we're coming into that, you know, to the season with all the berry fruit.
Yum.
And can't wait.
Oh, man, same.
Can't wait. And this illustration is just stunning. So we're going to preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius, lightly grease a shallow round non-stick cake tin with canola cooking spray or any cooking spray if it comes to that. Place the chickpeas, orange juice, egg substitute or your egg whites, water, sugar, cocoa, that's the first measure, baking powder and coconut in a food processor and blend until smooth. Now, that's how hard this cake is. You know, how hard is that?
That sounds pretty easy.
It's just, it is very easy. And pour into the cake tin and bake for 50 minutes or until a skewer comes out clean when inserted in the centre. And we say that often. Now, cool completely in the tin. Dust the torte with the combined icing sugar and extra cocoa powder. And please put that through a sieve because you don't want lumpy stuff coming through and making it look ugly. So put that in and just put it over the top of that cake and arrange the berries on top. It looks like $1 million. It looks, you could serve that up in any flash restaurant.
That looks absolutely sensational.
And you could have
really
that with coconut yogurt or
your favourite.
My favourite. What is that now? Oh, that's right.
Let's
cream.
See. Is that a surprise to the listeners?
I would have it with cream. But that looks absolutely brilliant. And I can just see it, you know, just beautifully on a white plate. Oh, yeah. Stunning.
Gorgeous.
So there we are. You could have a go at that, but I'm not sure. I'd have to be entertaining, I think, to make that. I just wouldn't make it willy-nilly.
Yeah.
And so it's just one that I'm going to, you know, store upstairs.
Yes.
And next time,
okay,
have a go.
All right.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Quite easy. And, of course, it says cooked chickpeas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, we all know we
can. Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. Take them out of a can.
Yeah. Or I cook them in batches and freeze them.
Yeah. Good girl. Yeah.
And it's much cheaper too.
Well, it is. Yeah. I admire you for doing that. Because it's, you know, it's a bit another job.
It is another job, but when I don't eat meat, it's like, you know,
it's easy. Just easy for you.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is it. No, I'm really impressed with that little recipe. Now, I'm going to move on because I sort of thought with looking through this book, I saw a lot of quick glazes and I thought, well, hey, you know, it's coming up to barbecue time. And basically we need to sort of give our meats and our fish and our chicken just that little bit of extra flavour. And when I saw these, I thought to myself, okay, I'll put this out to the listeners. And if you're happy, you can actually just use some of these for your quick barbecue or even grill in your oven inside. Okay, so I'm going to start off. I think I got oriental glaze, did I?
Yes, you did.
I did. Right, so this is oriental glaze, and I'm just going to tell you now that the glazes that I'm giving out, I want you to just use the method for all of the glazes that I've did because they're all the same. It's just that the contents are different. So this one, 1 tablespoon of teriyaki sauce, 2 tablespoons of honey, 1 teaspoon of hoisin sauce, 2 tablespoons of tomato sauce and 1/4 teaspoon of ground cumin. Now, you're placing all those ingredients, I'm not going to mention them again, and just combine and then brush meat, chicken or fish with the glaze and grill, barbecue or bake. It's as easy as that, or over something while it's cooking. But that is the oriental glaze. Now, we're going to move on. I think I did a orange and mint glaze. Did I do that one, Catherine?
You did, yes.
Well, same thing, the same basic method, but the 1/2 cup of orange juice, 1 teaspoon of French mustard, 1 tablespoon of honey, and 2 tablespoons of mint jelly warmed. Now, you're doing exactly the same. This is just giving you different ideas. Just mix those all together and you're doing exactly the same, whatever meat you're having. Chicken maybe with the orange, you know, it's really, really nice. Or pork even, and just put that over your meat. Now, my suggestion for all these is to actually let them soak for, you know, well, soak, let them stand.
Marinade.
For at least, you know, give them a few hours so that can just actually, you know, really get into the into those meats. And I think I've got a satay one. Did I give you a satay one?
Yes, you did.
A satay glaze. Now, you know, it's quite good having all these different ones. 2 teaspoons of brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of oyster sauce, 1 tablespoon of dry sherry, 1 tablespoon of satay sauce and 3 tablespoons of water, and exactly the same. You know, just combine all those really, really well together, whisk them all up together, and these you can actually just stick in your fridge and you could, you know, use them when you can if you're having a barbecue. And the last one, I think, did I do apricot?
You did, yep.
I did apricot. So here we are again, 1/2 cup of apricot jam warmed, 3 tablespoons of teriyaki sauce, 1 clove of garlic crushed, 1/2 teaspoon of ground mixed spice, and 1 tablespoon of cider vinegar. Absolutely, combine it all together again, whisk it all together, and that, you know, use it for your fish or chicken or whatever you like to glaze your meat with. So, and glazed meat is, I'm talking to my listeners here, I'm not looking at you, Catherine. You know, it's got a beautiful sort of shine to it and the flavour's lovely. So that's our, I think, 4 quick glazes.
Well, that's good for people who are wanting to get themselves organised for a barbecue.
Well, that's right, exactly.
So, I'd actually use some of those as a marinade for my tofu.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, there you are.
Yeah,
I missed that out, didn't I?
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
No. No, but that's exactly right. You could use it for tofu.
Especially the oriental glaze.
Actually, I love tofu, so I don't know why I didn't think about it. But thank you, Catherine, for reminding me. So how are we going for time, Catherine?
I reckon we can squeeze another one in for the listeners.
Oh, okay. I've got this one here, and I just thought it was really nice because it's got cauliflower, and I love cauliflower.
So do I.
It's cauliflower and gnocchi cheese bake. Gnocchi. And one large cauliflower trimmed, cut into small florets, quarter of a cup of olive oil, 500 grams of pre-prepared gnocchi, 3 tablespoons of butter, 3 tablespoons of plain flour, 3 cups of milk, half a teaspoon of grated nutmeg, and 1 teaspoon of dried mustard powder, and a half a cup of grated Parmesan cheese. Now, you can serve this over some lovely baby spinach leaves, you know, nice, and the colour's lovely.
Oh, yum.
So, and what we do on top of this one, we're going to put a topping on it, and it's just a crumb topping. So 1 cup of dried breadcrumbs. If you're, you know, sort of gluten-free, well, you can just change that to your gluten-free bread. Quarter of a cup of finely chopped parsley, 1 garlic clove crushed, and that's your topping. So we're going to preheat the oven to 200 degrees Celsius, spread the cauliflower florets out on a baking tray and drizzle with the oil and roast them for 15 minutes or till just tender and starting to brown. Remove from the oven and set aside for later. Meanwhile, this is just like making a cheese sauce. Bring a large saucepan of salted water to the boil. Add the gnocchi. Bring to the boil again and cook for 2 minutes or until the gnocchi rises to the surface, and then drain. So make the crumb topping by mixing the breadcrumbs, chopped parsley and garlic together in a small bowl and set aside for later. Now, this is where your sort of like cheese sauce comes in. Melt the butter in a large saucepan over medium heat. Add the flour and milk. Add half the milk, whisk to remove any lumps. Add the remaining milk and continue whisking. Stir in the nutmeg and mustard powder and season to taste. Simmer over a low heat for 5 minutes or until thickened. And you've cooked the gnocchi already, so you're basically putting that together into a pan and sprinkle over the crumb topping and bake for 20 minutes. Beautiful. Absolutely lovely. And then when you've got it all done, just you could put it out, if you wanted to, on a nice bed of spinach.
Yum.
Nice.
I love gnocchi.
Yes, ooh, very nice. It's lovely.
Have you handmade it at all yourself?
No, I haven't.
No. I think I've attempted it once.
No, I'll
leave that to the professionals.
Yeah, I think sometimes, I tried to make pasta once and it wasn't very successful.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a lot easier to buy fresh.
I think so.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I thought this was quite nice just to finish on.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Mm.
That's gorgeous.
That's lovely. And they're all our recipes are, you know, pretty easy to make.
Yeah.
Catherine, not difficult. And I don't like making them too difficult. And that's us, I think, isn't it?
Actually, before you go, you mentioned to me last week that you were going to make that fruit cake again, which has gone a bit crazy.
Oh.
You were going to make it with...
I did.
Did you make it gluten-free or something?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
How did that go?
Well, I had a look what I had in the cupboard, and I made it with chickpea flour. Now, I worked it out to... we did the 650 grams of fruit because I thought, you know, I was just making a smaller one.
Okay.
With the 2 cups of juice and the 2 cups of supposedly self-raising flour. So for the 2 cups of flour, I just measured it out sort of tablespoon by tablespoon, chickpea flour, rice flour, self-raising gluten-free flour, and almond meal.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure that out of the 2 cups that I had an even amount. So I was going 2 tablespoons of chickpea, 2 tablespoons of rice flour, 2 tablespoons of almond meal and self-raising gluten-free flour, just to make sure that I had the right balance there. And I took on your hint and I threw in some brandy. Yeah, I just threw in a couple of tablespoons or capsule of brandy. And honestly, it came out really nice and was taken home actually by my son because he's gluten-free and doesn't eat dairy either. So basically thought it was great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I thought it was great too. I actually had a little piece and yes, it was nice. You can sort of taste a slight difference, but to me.
No. Good with the brandy?
Yes, just a little bit of flavour, just a little bit. Yeah, didn't go overboard on that.
Okay.
But no, so if you're out there and you want to do that, just mix your flours up.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't have any soya flour or any of those other ones, but just make sure that you're using all your different types of flour.
Yeah. Nice. Great hint.
Mm.
Okay, there you go. It's for everyone, that cake.
That it is.
It's a cake for, that keeps
I met somebody in the supermarket the other day, and I saw that it, this guy had a packet of mixed fruit. And I said, "Oh, you're making a fruit cake?" And he goes, "No, I'm making steam puddings or something."
Oh.
And I said, "Well, I'm going to give you a recipe right now for that." So I gave him the recipe, and he said, "I'm going to make it."
That's gorgeous. Love it.
Yeah.
So there's probably no fruit, dried fruit left in any supermarket now in Kapiti and Horowhenua.
Yeah.
Thanks to that recipe and other radio stations that listen as well.
So that's right. Good. Yeah, good.
Excellent. Gail, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We'll see you again next week.
You will.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.